Oh. Should check and see, is this sound working? Oh, there it is. Okay. Good to see you. Welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah. Pretty good. Are you doing this back to back? You've got the earlier one that you're doing earlier in the night? Like,
it finished up 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that was fast.
Yeah.
Time just zips by.
It does, yeah. So this feels luxurious. I don't have to shift gears, and so just easing into things.
Wow. Yeah, that must have been, must have taken a little bit of energy.
Mm-hmm. It does. It actually gives energy, though, too. Yeah. The second class, which is usually Heart of Freedom, there's a kind of energy and momentum from the previous class. So that's good. That's a good thing. But it's also good to take a break. So, yeah.
Hi, James.
Yeah, James, welcome. Yeah, good to see you, Larry. And it's like Julie is here. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, it's good to see you, folks. Welcome. Yeah, there is Shane just entering. So it looks like it could be a bit smaller group this evening. It's wonderful to see you folks. Looks like there's another person that's coming. So, yeah, it's good. Here we go. So it's time for us to get started, and welcome. It's great to see you folks here this evening. This is Heart of Freedom, and I'm Doug Pullen. And it's a pleasure to get a chance to share these practices with you this evening. So, just an invitation to get comfy, to be settled, and so if there's blankets or pillows or a cup of tea or something that would make things more easeful, Feel free to make those accommodations, and just to take this invitation to settle back into just presence, just being here in the present moment, to consciously choose to set aside preoccupations, cares, concerns, and just be curious about what's most alive in this moment, to connect with the experience of a body that sits. and to just be present with sensation, perhaps noticing points of contact. There is pressure or warmth or tingling sensation that we can discover. Perhaps the sit bones, or feet resting on the floor, or perhaps hands touching. And so to perhaps choose a point where it's easy to notice sensation as an access to deepening into presence. We can think of it as kind of an access route to enter into the body or be present with the sensations that we discover. And to take that access point and expand to move up or down or sideways in whatever direction makes sense within your physical experience, and to just check in and see what's here. So this is an invitation to bring our mind and our capacity to be awake into the body. And one of the things that's wonderful is that the body is always here in the present moment. Our thinking processes can be off in the past or the future, but sensation is this moment, these sensations. And it's often the case, I certainly discover this, that there's places where there's tightness or tension or constriction. And we can bring a little TLC, a little intention of kindness, as we encounter any discomfort, and to see if it's possible to hold it with awareness in a way that perhaps allows some softening and acceptance. So this is cultivating the kind of relationship that would be based on kindness and presence. And these are qualities that we can take refuge in, these qualities of presence. Or we could say to take refuge in awareness, to take refuge in our capacity to discern and be curious at this level, at the level of sensation, and to discover in this process what's true, and to take refuge in our sense of being a part of something bigger that supports our practice. And so that's, we could say, taking refuge in community, or taking refuge in our loving interbeing. And so this is taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And it happens in this moment with experiences that are just like these ones. In fact, this is the only place that awakening happens. This breath, these sensations. At this point, if there's still a sense of constriction or tension or tightness, it might be helpful to take a long, slow, deep breath. or even two of those. Yeah. And so, yeah, just bringing in some ease. And to be present with the sensations of breathing as a focal point, as a touchstone for this cultivation of presence and kindness. So we can take that as a starting point. It's possible that there's something else that's more predominant or persistent in the realm of the senses, particularly physical sensations. And if that's the case, well, you could choose to take that for example, some other point of contact in the body, if that's more stable. But the breath is a pretty wonderful place to start if there isn't anything else that stands out. It's wonderful because it's dynamic, it's constantly in flux, and it helps us to stay centered and grounded without clinging. Because if we cling, then the breath gets constricted and shallow. So there is kind of a natural biofeedback. So we just let the breath be free. Just let the breath breathe itself. And there is something about that attitude of freedom right from the beginning that is the taste of this practice from start to finish. And just in case it's helpful, the practice is waking up in each successive moment of consciousness to the conditions that we discover. And it might be that the previous moment was one of being lost in thinking or off daydreaming. or planning or whatever the particular state or process is. And of course that happens. That's just the nature of the mind. It's a conditioned phenomenon. And it has tendencies to go in whatever directions it's used to going. And so there's this wonderful opportunity to be friendly and accepting in the recognition of that. To not get caught up in or identified with judging or commentary or thinking, oh, this is a bad meditation or whatever. It's just noticing in this moment. Acceptance of that there is whatever is happening. And if we're not focused on the breath or our primary focal point, that there's just remembering, oh, that's right, there's the breath, there's a body that sits. this practice has been defined as non-judgmental present moment awareness that's intentional. That means that there isn't anything that's happening in the present moment that shouldn't be happening. It just is. This moment is like this. These physical sensations, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, these thoughts or these feelings, and so it's a radical shift in our orientation from being caught up in the tyranny of liking and disliking and identification with whatever's passing through. It's a shift into being the state of awareness that's present. So it's just this moment, just these sensations in the ever-changing flow or stream of a consciousness of sensation. And it isn't the objective of this meditation to try to stop that stream or to fix anything. Nothing needs to be fixed. We experience a spiritual wholeness, completeness in this moment, with this breath, with these body sensations. So as I invite us to bring this meditation to a close, I'd like to share with you some words from Rumi. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. So here's an invitation to take good care, stay connected to what's happening in the present. If there's any bit of stretching or movement that you'd like to experiment with as a mindfulness practice, you're welcome to take this sense of non-judgmental present moment awareness and discover what it's like to move. Or we could continue just to notice sounds or the breath. So I'd like to share some brief information with you this evening. So if you'd like to tune into that, you're welcome. If you prefer to just stay with the experience that's most predominant and let hearing be a background, you're welcome to do that as well. So first, I just posted in our chat a link to our virtual Dana Bowl, which is part of the generous energy that keeps this evening possible, these teachings going through PIMC. So just an invitation to consider what is the value of this for you, and would you like to support this moving forward? So there's that. And then also to just share briefly some wonderful upcoming practice opportunities. So there is coming up on the, let's see, where's the date? Oh, it's March 23rd. There's a retreat with Candle and Phyllis Moses. Candle Summers, one of our teachers here at PIMC, and a guest teacher, Phyllis. It's going to be a spring equinox retreat. So the 23rd from 10 to 4, that's happening. That's in person, PIMC. And then one of our teacher trainees, Mish Makazi, is offering a two-hour training from 2 to 4 on the, let's see, what's the date there? Doesn't show the date. I'll find it. Oh, it's February 24th. And that is at an off-site location, so be sure to check the PIMC website if you're interested. And so those are just a couple of things coming up to pique your curiosity. Invite you to go to the PIMC website for more information about upcoming events. So there's an opportunity that I'd like to offer for us to check in to hear what's most alive in the group this evening. It's totally optional. Don't have to say a word if you don't want to, but if you'd like to share, I'd love to hear what's happening. And specifically, what's happening in your practice this evening? What's up? What state of consciousness? Or yeah, just kind of what are you sitting with? And it could be just a few words. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. If you choose to share, if you could say your name, that would be wonderful. And then to kind of keep it so that it's a safe space for each person to share, I invite you not to engage in crosstalk. And then when you're finished, to say, I've spoken, or I'm finished. So that lets the next person know that they could take a turn. So I'll start. My name is Doug, and I am feeling pretty exhausted physically this evening. But I feel the energy of the group, and that's bringing energy to me. So I'm grateful for that, and just grateful to be here with you. So thank you. I have spoken.
I am a turtle sitting on a log with the crickets and frogs in a dirty pond singing loudly, play! My practice right now is imperfect. but lately I've been motivated to do more work. I'm really lucky. I have a new person in my life that I'm just really into, who has been giving me a lot of care and kindness, and it's really, I'm just so grateful to have this person around. And I definitely want to share it with my Sangha, because I'm just crowing about it whenever I can. And this person is like me in a lot of ways, and very different than me in a lot of ways. They're very heart centered. I'm a lot more analytical and direct, and they're very heart centered. And I'm just really grateful this person's entered my life, and it's kind of prompted me to want to try to do more work so I can be present and be available and show up and make space and all those things, all those wonderful things, right? So I'm just, you know, thank you for having me and sharing practice with me. And may all beings benefit from the merit of our practice.
Good evening, everybody. I suppose I'll take a moment to jump in here and say hello. My name is Shane, and it's great to be here this evening with everyone. And it's been a bit of a long and exhausting and week thus far, with a lot of things on my mind. So it's been very nice to just to have the opportunity to sit down with all of you this evening. And this happens frequently when I do sit, but I was reminded of it this evening, that sometimes just being very still and quiet and focused can become a very energizing experience. So I'm feeling a lot more awake now than I was at 7:30, and sometimes that seems a little counterintuitive and surprising, but it's always a reminder when that happens, one of the many reminders of why this practice is so important to me. So thanks for letting me share, and thanks for being here with me this evening, and I've spoken.
Can go. I'm Laura. It's been quite a busy day and a bit scattered, although there's been really good things in it. And I actually was thinking maybe I should take a nap tonight instead of coming. But I'm really glad that I came. I volunteer for hospice, and I have a vigil that I'm sitting with somebody tonight. And I think I don't need to be more rested. I think I need to be more clear. And that's what happens when I come here. Actually, I think that's it. I'm just very grateful to be here. And with everybody here, that's all.
My name is Kathy, and I am happy to be here which is not as frequent as I would like with the Sangha, but I'm always happy to rejoin. Anyway, it's a lovely day because it was so nice outside, but other work that I've been involved in has my mind racing, and it was very difficult to turn that off as we sat tonight, as much as I try. And I found myself reflecting on all this math or arithmetic in Buddhism about the three refuges and the four noble truths and the 12 factors of dependent originator, just like a million list of numbers. Anyway, my mind went down that rabbit hole for a while. The stillness helped, and I'm happy to be here.
My name is Esme. I've had a very, very, very demanding and at times frightening week at work. And I was mostly falling asleep tonight. But it's nice to be with Sangha, so thank you. I've spoken.
So, just checking, anybody else want to share? All right, well, I'll share a short Dharma talk this evening. Part of what I'm going to share is 10 simple practices that are principles, really, of spiritual awakening. These will most likely, for most of us, be reminders of what we already know, at least to some degree. With these kinds of reminders, we're always invited to take it deeper, because in most cases, there's always another layer of the onion, so to speak, to peel or explore, be curious about. And as always, I see Dharma Talks as really just that, reminders for us of what we already know, to take it deeper in the practice of mindfulness or heartfulness is, at least in part, a practice of recollection. It's to remember to be present, to remember our intentions, and to remember the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. All of those things, all of the aspects of the teaching. So, and our context this evening is so fortunate. We have this wonderful, loving, wise community to practice with. So, not to be taken for granted. So, in this context, then, I just invite us to reflect on how can freedom from suffering and peace be found when so much of our life may not be to our liking. It's messy. There's stuff that happens that's stressful. And some of it's good, some of it's wonderful, and some of it's really difficult. The focus for this evening that I'm going to be weaving in is the observation that much of the suffering that we experienced, or dukkha, as the Buddha described it, is caused by holding on to our ideas of how things should be. And I totally, well, as much as I can, I shouldn't say totally, but I deeply understand the incredible difficulty to accept what life is offering in the present moment without judgment. It's difficult. And it's easier when we recognize that mindfulness isn't about getting rid of judgment, even though it's non-judgmental. We can be present with judgment. And is there a difference between being mindful of judgment and being lost in judgment, being identified with judgment? So just an invitation to consider that for yourself. And this practice really invites us to be fully present and awake to each precious moment, to come out of the past and the future and show up here, to know that even our feelings of non-acceptance are accepted. And so that's the radical part. It's opening up to this extraordinary gift of existence, to actually be able to, and this isn't a should, have to, ought to, it's really just what happens, to embrace both the pain and the joy, the bliss and the sorrow, the ecstasy and the overwhelm, the certainty and the doubt, and to know that we never are separate from the whole, even if we, on an intellectual level, don't have any idea of what that is, that we aren't separate, that we're never truly broken or lost. So this connects up for me in my practice recently, where I've been sitting with and just really accepting that there's a lot of things I just don't know. And not making myself wrong for not knowing something. Just making room and space for it's like this. Sometimes there's the realization that there really isn't anybody here to know or not know anything. There's just what's happening. There's just this apparent collection of causes and conditions that are in flux. It's like a river of conditioning, like I suggested during the guiding meditation. So, and if these words don't really make any sense, don't worry. Just listen for what does connect, what does make sense. I guess one thing I'm suggesting this evening is that whatever is happening isn't actually happening to you. It's happening to causes and conditions. That doesn't mean that we don't suffer, because, of course, most of us identify with those causes and conditions. But the spiritual view is that we can stand in both worlds, that there is, on a relative level, somebody who's experiencing all of this strain, all of this stuff, this messy stuff. And there's also something else that's bigger, that we can stand in. So there's that. Back a couple of years ago, I listened to a Dharma talk by Joseph Goldstein. He's one of the senior Western insight meditation teachers. And he shared that in that talk, the realization that anything can happen at any time. That there's the possibility of wondrous, joyous, lovely experiences. And there's also the possibility of really awful things happening. And so that's just the nature of things. And if at a particular moment of time we're getting more of the messy than the joyful, well, that's just, that's what's happening, but it isn't anybody's fault. It's just the conditions that we find ourselves in. On a mundane level, we mess up, make mistakes, and so do the people around us. We're not alone in that. That's part of our shared humanity. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is the founder of mindfulness-based stress reduction, suggested in his classic book, Full Catastrophe Living, that finding a sense of ease in the middle of this full catastrophe, finding comfort in the midst of it, is the practice, really. So it isn't denying it, but it's also, and it's real. I mean, the experiences aren't sort of shunned, or we don't have out-of-body experiences. It's embodied, but the practice more and more isn't clinging. So there is this kind of acknowledgement with practice that we can cultivate certain qualities or traits that make it possible to have access to them on a more readily basis in daily life. So that's the good news of the practice, is we're not saying there isn't something we can do. There's definitely something we can do. And that's what we're doing, really, is cultivating this quality of heart and mind. To put it simply, if you want to be more aware, responsive, emotionally balanced, compassionate, or anything else, it takes effort. It doesn't require being perfect. And that's really the core of my focus this evening. When we see or notice that voice of perfection taking over, it's an opportunity to be mindfully free from its influence, which means to notice it. What I'm suggesting is that we can benefit, most if not all of us, when we take a few minutes to focus our attention without expecting stillness, or settle our busy minds without expecting the stress to go away completely, or build an awareness of the assumptions and habits that tend to drive us without blaming ourselves for those tendencies in the first place. Or we can develop more compassion in our lives, even though some people absolutely, totally annoy us. It's possible. So there's that. And the other thing I'm suggesting, to the degree that we are identified with a separate self, which is, I would say, most of us, there isn't any perfection. If we're practicing mindfulness and judging ourselves, it's important to notice that habit. And if we have a perception that we can be perfect, that just leads to more stress. So in meditation, we choose to stay in the present moment with a chosen object. But of course we fail. There's imperfection that shows up there. That's part and parcel of the practice, to accept imperfection, to accept the impermanent nature even of our ability to attend. So mindfulness is not perfectionism. In fact, I suggest to you for your consideration, it's actually the antidote for perfectionism. It's a shift. Here is a poem by John Wellwood, who was a transpersonal psychologist. Forget about enlightenment. Sit down wherever you are and listen to the wind singing in your veins. Feel the love, the longing, the fear in your bones. Open your heart to who you are right now. Not who you would like to be, not the saint you are striving to become, but the being right here before you, inside you, around you. All of you is holy. You are already more and less than whatever you can know. Breathe out, touch in, let go. That's John Wellwood. And to me, this poem offers a clear invitation to radical acceptance. So the other thing I noticed when I first read that poem, the word holy felt a bit distant to me, like, wasn't sure that fit. And so, but then I found out that the word holy is actually derived from the Old English halig, which means wholeness, as well as health and happiness. So what if we're already happy, healthy, whole, and both more or less than whatever we can know? That's one way of understanding it, is that even though we may not be aware of our wholeness, in the whole thing, everything has a place. Nothing is excluded. We just can't see that all the time. Everything has a place. Everything belongs here. To me, that's the ultimate diversity, equity, inclusion understanding. Everything belongs. Nothing is excluded. Here's a verse from this is just an excerpt, really, from Trust in Mind by Sen Tseng. One thing all things move among and intermingle without distinction. To live in this realization is to be without anxiety about non-perfection. To live in this faith is the road to non-duality, because the non-dual is one with the trusting mind. So what we're waking up to in this practice, and this is in my humble opinion or experience, isn't a special feeling, state, or experience. It isn't a goal or destination. It's not somewhere to reach in the future. As Jeff Foster suggested in the quote that I shared on the email that I sent out, the Buddha was trying to tell us, though actually few listened, that it isn't a superhuman attainment or achievement. We don't have to go to India to find it. It isn't a special state of perfection reserved for the lucky or the privileged. It isn't an exclusive club. It's not an out-of-body experience. It doesn't involve living in a cave, shutting off all of your beautiful senses, detaching yourself from the realities of the modern world, It can't be transmitted to you by a fancy bearded or non-bearded guru, nor can it be given away or actually lost. You don't have to become anybody's disciple or follower or give away your possessions. You don't have to join a cult, and you don't have to follow anyone. The teacher ultimately is inside you, inside all of us. And I mean, that's what we discover. And so it's actually an invitation in each moment of our lives to trust and embrace ourselves exactly as we are in the present moment. So that's it, kind of in general. There is no destination. There is only now. There's only the present moment. And so we are invited to come out of the story of time and space, past and future, regret and anticipation, and seeking different states and experiences, and just relax our habitual focus on what's gone or what's not here yet, and come out of the story and just be curious with a very active, alive presence to the dance of sensation, the dance of experience, the constantly changing. This present moment is the only place where true answers can emerge from. Everything else is a cognitive overlay. So there's that. The second thing, thinking and resistance create suffering. Pain isn't the real problem. The real problem is, and it arises almost instantaneously with pain, is the story we tell ourselves about it, our resistance to it, our attempt to escape it. I was sitting with a student earlier today, and they had the experience in real time right in front of me of that transformation. It started out as a ton of pain, and it turned, and there was resistance and suffering, and it turned into just sensation. Doesn't always work like that. We can't, it's not a magic bullet, but it does happen, and with practice it does happen. It seems more often. The suffering begins when we start ruminating on our pain, our sadness, our fears, our anger, brooding over our discomforts. So just trying to move towards presence is an incredible intervention. Stepping out of thoughts. Thoughts and sensations aren't personal, and they're not necessarily true. Just like the sounds we hear, thoughts and physical sensations change. They arise and pass away, just like waves on the ocean. So if we can observe our thoughts and our feelings the same way we observe the ocean breaking, those waves coming in, or notice sounds arising and passing away, it changes our relationship to cognitions. It's powerful. Here's the next thing just to consider. Like I said, don't believe anything I say here without checking in with yourself. Is this true? Or does this make any sense? You are the space for thoughts. You aren't the thinker of them. Thoughts aren't you. They're just what the brain does. Our brains secrete thoughts the same way salivary glands secrete saliva. That's just what brains do. And they're very seductive and pull us in. So once again, just speaking from a spiritual perspective, you are not your thoughts. The fifth principle, I know I wasn't counting, but this is the fifth one. Breathe into your discomfort and pain, honor it. And that changes your relationship to them. The things that we resist tend to persist. The sixth is acceptance isn't something you do, it is what you are. Acceptance doesn't mean that an unpleasant thought or feeling will go away. It could stay a while. So it isn't a strategy to make it go away. It's a way of being in relationship with it. It's a way of choosing to not go to war. It's a way of choosing peace. The seventh, there is no always and no never. In reality, I'm being mindful of these words because things change. Those are cognitive distortions, really. And they create powerlessness. And they feed the story of seeking and lack. And there's no rest in those words. The eighth thing is you can only get there by being here. All of the fruits of our practice come from being here. When we focus so much on the goal or a destination, then we forget the journey. And this is all about the journey. If you want peace, practice peace in this moment. If you want to be joyful, be present and notice pleasantness and joy. The ninth principle is embrace your stumbling. It is perfect too. The invitation is to make mistakes mindfully and to cultivate kindness and self-compassion when we do. Make mistakes all the time. I chuckle when I walked into a room and then forgot why I walked into the room. And then in the chuckling, often there's remembering, oh, that's right, I was going to pick up the car keys. And so there's a different kind of relationship with forgetting, with imperfection. The 10th one is stop comparing. You are life itself. You are unique. Your journey is wholly original. So one definition of the Buddhist path is it's the path that can't be followed. We can't follow actually directly in the footsteps of the Buddha. We can learn from the Buddhist teachings because they generalize really well. But in terms of the actual journey, each person's journey is unique. And so it's a process of discovery. What brings you to peace? What helps you feel more connected, more loving? There's some general principles, but when it comes to right down to it, it's an experimental, experiential process. That's what meditation is for, at least in part. That's what mindfulness in daily life is for, so we can discover those things. So I apologize if this is way too many words or too much stuff. Hopefully you can pick and choose what's useful. Before I do a brief guided meditation, I'd like to circle back and check in. Anything coming up for anybody that you'd like to share or a question?
I forgot where you said this list of 10 things was from, Doug.
It's from Jeff Foster, who's a meditation teacher. Yeah.
Are you able to share with us, maybe by email, if we're interested?
Sure. Yeah, you could contact me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anybody sitting with anything you want to share or a question before I move into doing a little bit of meditation? This will be short, just a little invitation. This is more like, just an invitation for mindful reflection. And check in with yourself and see if, I know it's late, and if you don't have the energy to do anything other than just let it sit and just relax and be with the breath, that's totally fine. There's no tyranny of the group. So just hear this truly as an invitation and see whether it feels right. So to start with, just to circle back in or just stay with the experience of the breath. What's happening in the present moment? And so, bring to mind something that you're proud of yourself for. It could be a talent or a skill, a specific project. And just notice as you recollect that, how does that feel in your body? And just staying with that for a minute or so, that feeling of pride or appreciation. And of course, if the mind goes off into commentary or judgment, or spinning out, there's the invitation just to come back to this. So, and then we're gonna let that go. And now, to imagine or remember a person that you know, or maybe someone that you know of, who share a similar talent, skill, or accomplishment, recognizing a connection between you. So, another person who has similar accomplishments or skills. And just notice how it feels in your body. And once again, we're going to shift, just to let that focus go. And now bring to mind a mistake that you've made, not the worst, most awful thing, but just something that you can notice here briefly and then let it go. one that you might have some judgment or criticism for yourself about. Something that you could, beat yourself up for a little bit and just notice how that feels. And once again, letting this go and then just shifting. And now imagine or visualize other people that you know personally or known of who've made similar mistakes. You've done something similar to that. And just notice how that feels. Once again, to shift and just to recognize here our shared humanity between those who share our talents and those who share our mistakes, that we're all human. None of us is perfect. And what we tend to judge in others, we judge in ourselves. So, yeah, to see if we can step out of that identification. Yeah, notice how that feels. To make a shift. Just simple. And I'd like to shift here and to another poem, and then we'll do a closing meditation. This is a poem by Antonio Machado. Probably many of you might be familiar with it. The poem is called Last Night While I Was Sleeping. I dreamt marvelous error, that a spring was breaking out here in my heart. I said, along which secret aqueduct, O water, are you coming to me, water of a new life that I've never drunk? Last night, as I was sleeping, I dreamt marvelous error, that I had a beehive here inside my heart, and the golden bees were making white combs of sweet honey from my old failures. Last night, as I was sleeping, I dreamt marvelous error, that a fiery sun was giving light inside my heart. It was fiery because I felt warmth as from a hearth, and sun because it gave light and brought tears to my eyes. Last night, as I slept, I dreamt marvelous error, that it was God I had here inside my heart. Yeah. So I'd like to invite us to close with some metta practice. And so just a transitioning in a way the poem invites that heartfulness, that sense of, the transforming, the alchemical process of the heart to transform those parts of ourselves and others that we reject or cling to. And notice how that works for you. Each of us is a little different. So, you can try on a metta phrase or imagine some form of kindness that comes to you, some form of warmth. maybe a little beehive there working in your heart, creating honey. Yeah, whatever works for you. Notice how that might feel. Let yourself experiment with what is an intention of kindness being cultivated right now look like, feel like, sound like. And to trust yourself to stay with that. Yeah, let it be a practice. And as we tap into something that feels like it's in sync with our being, then we can start to tap into something that's bigger than our identification with a separate self. That doesn't, you know, always happen right away, but we can imagine, we can hold space for our shared humanity in this and offer our wishes of well-being to the apparent other beings, starting perhaps with those who we share this practice with this evening. You can imagine sharing our wishes out through our Zoom connection. Yeah, may you be peaceful. May your heart be free. Abide in well-being. Yeah, those are just some examples. But notice what really does it for you. What would you like to share? What are the wishes that you'd like to share? Yeah, and then we can keep going. Notice how it feels. You can include loved ones, dear friends, family members, people who aren't here this evening. Beings that we know are suffering. Beings that we know that are experiencing delight and celebration. All beings in all directions, to whatever degree we can imagine or conceive. Yeah. And as we open this up, we could connect with our words, our voices, and do a chant. And once again, totally optional, but if you like, you're welcome to join me and unmute yourself. And we can chant, may all beings be happy, and just, yeah, use that as a channel to send this out in whatever direction we'd like to. So we'll do it three times, may all beings be happy. And then sadhu three times. So let's give that a try. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. Beautiful. Thank you. Wonderful to share with you. Please take whatever's beneficial with this practice this evening and take it with you. Anything that's not helpful, just let it go. So you only take the good stuff. And may we share the merits of our practice with all beings. And I call to our hearts my teachers, Ruth Dennison, Robert Beatty, Matt Flickstein, and others. Upon whose shoulders I stand, I feel grateful. So thank you. Have a good week, everybody. Take care.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Shane. Bye.
Take care.